come on in. We're waiting for you.
Here it is, the, what day is it, Lady Kim? The 27th day of March. And I tell you, believe it or not, March is going to be out of here by this weekend.
Yep.
And so we praise God for how he sustained us through the midst of everything that we have gone through this month. This has been a great month for us at the church and a great time as we have gone through a lot of activities at the church this month, but we praise God for his keeping power. And we thank God for sustaining us. And here we are getting ready to go into April. Can you believe that?
April is here.
I know, right? And so we have a lot going on in April, but we are grateful for God yet including us in his plan for each day that he allows us to be a part of. And so we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to yet give him praise. And so make no mistake about it tonight that God has been faithful. He's been kind toward us. He's been just. He's looked beyond our faults and he's gotten right to our needs. And so every opportunity we have, we ought to yet give God praise. Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
So tonight we're going to be in 1 Chronicles, the 19th chapter. And I believe there are about 19 verses there. Very interesting chapter that we're going to discuss. But we want to start with prayer. Y'all let us know you're getting a good signal and that everything is coming in clear on your side. But we're going to start with prayer. And then Lady Kim is going to lead us through this time together tonight. She brought in a book about this big with all the information in it. So
that I did not read.
I'm excited.
I didn't get a chance to read.
Just to hear what she was able to gather from 19 verses, because this is an interesting chapter, isn't it?
It is.
And so we got a couple of things I think will be helpful to us as we move forward. Somebody let us know you're getting a good signal. Okay, great signal. Thank you, Sister Jones, for that. Let's have a prayer, and then we're going to get started. Others are going to join us here in a few minutes, but we praise God for each of you. Father, we bless you, and we honor you, and we yet give you praise. Thank you for allowing us to be included in this day that you created, and we're grateful for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for sustaining us in the midst of everything that we have gone through, all that we will go through, and we just thank you for keeping us right now. And so now, God, even as we have gathered on this Monday night to study your word, we pray that your word will indeed be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And then, God, that we might receive revelation and understanding from your word, that it might better our situations and that we might represent you even the more in terms of excellence and whatever it is you would have for us to do. So we love you tonight, and we thank you for each person that's going to be on this call.
Yes.
And those who are going to participate and see this particular virtual study later. And we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and amen, and praise God.
Amen.
All right, for those of you who just joined us, we're going to be in the 19th chapter of 1 Chronicles tonight. And there are 19 verses there. But before we move into this time together in the 19th chapter, it's probably going to be a short study, but we're going to fill the time with other things that have happened and transpired in the life of the church this past weekend. It was a busy weekend at ATOP, wasn't it, Lady Kim? Just give us a little update about, you want to start with Saturday or how you, wherever you want to start with Sunday, however the Lord leads you.
Well, let's do it in order. Saturday was an awesome time in the Lord as we sponsored a women's conference from A Sister's Heart in conjunction with the Disciple Women's Endowment and also Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority and the Interfaith group from Memphis Theological Seminary. So we had a wonderful time in the Lord, wonderful speakers. They talked about prophetic leadership and finances and spiritual disciplines And there was one
self-care.
More. Self-care. That's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. Emotional well-being, emotional health, and self-care. And it was awesome. We had a wonderful time in the Lord. And I just thank God for all of the all of our ATOP members mm-hmm. Who joined in with us.
Okay.
So, and helped out.
How many people from ATOP were present?
Quite a few.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
y'all had over 100 people there, didn't you?
I believe about 100 people, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we had 167 that registered.
Okay, okay.
Uh-huh. But I don't believe all 167 showed up. You
okay,
know?
Okay.
But yes, we had quite a large crowd, and we are thankful for that.
That's great. That's great. And, you know, I was thinking about that, even as you're going to tell us a little bit more about what happened, how it just kind of coincided with Women's History Month. I don't know if that was a part of the original plan, and how it really kind of closed out the month of March, honoring women. Mm-hmm. And that was a very appropriate time for women to come together. I was not able to be there. Of course, I was not invited. They put me out and told me I better not show my face. But Lady Kim was able to sneak me a little lunch home. So, but I'm so grateful for the First Lady. She's really the executive pastor. We call her First Lady, but she's the executive pastor, and we're so honored that she handles the business even when I'm not there. I don't even have to blink because I know she's going to take care of business and do it the way God wants it done. And then she'll think about me after that. But no, what else happened there? Is anything else you want to share about what was it called? Women of...
From a sister's heart.
From a sister's heart, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. No, we just had an awesome time. All of the speakers were excellent.
Okay.
And like I said, ATOP represented well.
Mm-hmm.
They also helped out, you know, with all areas, you know, in the kitchen and
mm-hmm.
Registration and as
That's
hostesses
great.
And just whatever needed to be done. They stepped up in a big way. And we got so many compliments on how people just really stepped in and did an awesome job.
That's great. That's great. Well, then we went right into Sunday morning with our worship experience. And after that, we had our outreach effort where we did our feeding program. Tell us a little bit about what you observed from the worship experience on yesterday.
Well, you know, you've been talking about miracles,
mm-hmm.
and so you continued in that vein, and your sermon topic was Don't Give Up on Your Miracle.
Okay.
Yes, and you spoke from John, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 8, and then you skipped down and you talked about verses 35 through 44.
Okay.
You know, in order to get the fuller picture, you know, you had to kind of slice and dice.
Mm-hmm.
But that particular scripture talks about Lazarus.
Okay.
And his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Lazarus was sick.
Mm-hmm.
But from all indications, they had a close relationship with Jesus.
Absolutely.
Mary, that's Lazarus' sister, as well as Martha's Lazarus' sister. But this Mary is the Mary that wiped Jesus' feet,
that's right.
You know, with her hair and the expensive perfume.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was that same Mary. But they sent a message to Jesus letting him know that Lazarus was very, very sick. And how we know that they had a close relationship with Jesus, in that fifth verse it says, now, Jesus loved Martha and her sisters and Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
So they had an intimate relationship. And then in a verse before that, I think it's verse 3, it says, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.
Right.
They
right.
sent a message to Jesus saying, hey, the man that you love, Lazarus, your friend, your ace boon coon, he's mm-hmm. sick. And you need to come and see about him. But when he heard that he was sick, Jesus said, this sickness, you know, is for the glory of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, and he did not rush to go back to see Lazarus. And as a result, Lazarus died. When Jesus made it back, you know, he made it back and Lazarus had already been buried.
Yeah.
And they told him to take away the stone. And he went in and Lazarus was wrapped in grave clothes and he called Lazarus to come forth. Mm-hmm. And Lazarus came forth, it said, bound with grave clothes. And Jesus told him to loose him and let him go.
Okay.
So you had several points that delay is not denial. You know, Jesus delayed his stay where he was and did not come immediately when Mary had called for him to come to see about Lazarus. And as a result, you know, they said, I think one of them said, if he had come earlier or sooner,
right,
he wouldn't have died.
Right, right. That could have been a little situation there. And we're trying to read into the text, but we were not there, of course. But that was probably a real trying time for them. And it's obvious that the relationship between this family and Jesus was a close-knit situation. And so even in that verse 35, I think, Lady Kim, in between all of what was happening, we find that Jesus wept. And the shortest verse in the Bible, of course, but he wept over the fact that there was a whole lot going on. And you don't see that verse, you don't see that too often in Scripture. But in this instance, we do see that Jesus had some serious emotions as it relates to what was happening in that particular time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it has a lot to do with the relationship that he had with this family. Bethany was probably one of his stops. And it probably was one of the places where he would go and relax and hang out. And, you know, when he was traveling, mm-hmm, at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he did get word, as you said, it was a delay. And that first point was, you know, delays are not denial. And I think part of what I was trying to help us to see that in terms of not giving up on our miracle is that even though we run into what seems like detours and delays, that does not mean that God has given up on us or that it's denial. And sometimes he's trying to get something done in us in order for us to be ready for what he has to do for us.
Amen. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, we all of us have issues and situations that we're going through. And I think a lot of times when people don't see what God has promised, when their reality is not matching up with what they're asking God for, many times they become frustrated and sometimes people want to throw in the towel. But we have to continue to trust God in those times. And if he hadn't answered yet, we know that he is indeed an on-time God. He is a prayer-answering God. And I was waiting on them to strike the chord for me because he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Somebody put that in the margins. Come on, somebody type that in there. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And so we can become frustrated, and people, you can tell by how their demeanor changes and how they become, you know, they become sometimes just lackadaisical and wanting to give up, you know, and not excited or enthused about what they have asked God to do because it didn't happen when they thought it was going to happen.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. But, you know, we do know, you know, that all of us stand in need of a miracle.
That's right. That's right.
At one point of our lives or another. So, yes, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. But, you know, this passage, it speaks about a miracle. And what do we do when what we need is not manifested? Because, mm-hmm, I think that's one of the questions you raised. You know, Mary and Martha, you know, what they were asking God to do did not come to pass. They were asking Jesus to heal, to come and heal their brother while mm-hmm. he was alive. Mm-hmm. But it was not manifested in the way they thought it would be.
Okay.
You know, and so, but it was a greater manifestation mm-hmm. in that Jesus rose, allowed Lazarus to rise from the dead. Mm-hmm. And so that was a greater impact to know, to let people know that it was about God and his healing and miraculous power.
That's good. That's good. Okay. All right. And what was that last point that we had there?
The second point, we didn't even mention.
We didn't get to the second point.
Yeah, the purpose will uh-huh. be revealed in your predicament.
Right, right. And that's part of what you were just describing. Uh-huh. Because, you know, and I kind of throwed out a couple of other questions, you know, because many times God places us in predicaments to see how faithful we are and whether we, and see what we are actually made of, you know? And James says it's a trying of our faith that worketh patience. And mm-hmm. many times people don't want to go through anything. They don't want to experience anything. They want everything to be easy. But it's the trying of our faith that worketh patience. And James says, let patience have a perfect work that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And as I oftentimes say, and I should have said it yesterday, a faith that's not tested, it's really a faith that can't be trusted, you know, because we've got to go through some things. We've got to go through it in order to get to where God is trying to get us to. And your breakthrough is on the other side of what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he will deliver us in the middle of it. Sometimes he delivers us before we even go through anything. But oftentimes he delivers us on the other side. And the thing that we oftentimes expect God to do is to change other people and change other situations. Mm-hmm. And really, yeah. he's trying to do change a work us. On us, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes.
And so that's a part of that purpose being revealed in the predicament that we're in. And so for whoever's listening tonight and those who will hear this later, don't grow weary in well-doing. Continue to trust the timing of God and know that he will see about you. And when God shows up, he shows out every time.
Amen.
Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
Amen. Yes, he does. Yes,
and you said
does.
It was a greater miracle than what they had anticipated.
Greater manifestation.
Manifestation
yes.
of the miracle.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. And your last point was obedient preparation precedes blessings.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when God comes, he comes with purpose and with power.
Okay.
You know, purpose is you said perfecting through patiently waiting.
Mm-hmm. Did I say all of that yesterday?
For God's plan to take place.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, you should have gave me that, but I didn't tell you what I was going to be preaching on.
No, you did.
Okay.
But you rarely do.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's all good because, mm-hmm. You know, I might just let you go on do it next time. What you think? All right, I'm finna go down a rabbit hole, and you're not hesitating.
And I'm not going with you.
You're trying to go down there with me.
I'm not going with you on that one.
All right, but no, and that's what the whole process about. We have to take something away from the sermon, and many times it becomes fresh and alive even as we're preaching it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people, when they hear the word, their faith is ignited in such a way where they'll hear what God is saying to them about their predicament or their situation. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always amazed at that passage because, you know, God did a work, and I praise God for those who are willing to pray for others to have a miracle to happen and not necessarily for themselves.
Amen.
Sometimes we can get very selfish mm-hmm. in terms of what we are asking God to do, till we don't take time out to intercede on the behalf of our neighbor. But Mary and Martha, they were not looking for a miracle for themselves.
Right.
They were interceding for their brother and Jesus' friend. And how many of us will take time out to ask God to do something on behalf of somebody else when we're standing in need ourselves.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And I think there's a greater blessing when you're standing in need, but you're willing to help somebody.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You know, so, you know, you need to prepare what God is planning to do in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, the miracle he's going to manifest in your life by just keeping your focus on doing what's right.
That's right.
If you continue to help others, if you continue to go the extra mile, then your miracle can be manifest in a different way.
Okay. Do we have any comments there?
Yes, it said it's frustrating. Sister Antoinette said it's frustrating for me to see unbelievers or people who are in the world getting the big promotions, the money, and people like me who try to follow God and are stagnant.
And that's for a lot of us too, you know, because when we begin to look at things, that's where that whole process of giving up, you know, comes into motion. Sometimes it makes you want to give up and throw in the towel. But God is yet perfecting something in us. Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So when God gets ready to bless us, and we praise God for how he's blessing others, I mean, we can't discriminate and pull back the cover on whether they're a believer or an unbeliever. But it's a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. Isn't that right? And so sometimes the devil will manifest blessings to those who are unbelievers and make it appear as if they are being truly blessed, but that's only temporary.
Yes.
And so I praise God that he's going, what he does for us, he makes it something that's going to be there, and it's going to be obvious that it was nobody but God,
yes,
you know.
Yes, absolutely. And we can't focus on other on what's happening with other people.
Okay.
Because we know what we see from the outside looking in, but we don't really know how their prosperity comes.
Okay.
You know, the scripture says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
You know, when the wicked cease from troubling, you know, the weary shall be at rest.
Okay.
And so we don't need to get caught up in what everybody else is doing. Just keep your focus on God. Keep your hand in his hand. Keep your prayer life going. And God has promised that he would supply all of our needs.
That's right.
According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So just keep your faith, keep your head up, keep moving. God has something special
in store. It shall
come
to pass. That's right. Hallelujah. He talks about the how those who, how does that passage go, that they will soon be cut down?
Cut down like chaff.
And so we just have to keep on believing God and keep on trusting him and doing the very best that we can, and knowing that we're next in line. And we have to wake up with that kind of enthusiasm and that kind of drive every morning. If it hadn't happened yet, then keep on developing those disciplines and making sure that you have the necessary process in place for your obedience, you know, precedes the blessing, so that you can make sure that you're doing everything that you're supposed to do.
Amen.
And so when God does show up, it won't blow your mind. It'll be a welcome, you know, thing for you, and you'll be able to celebrate and give him praise. Isn't that right?
Amen. Now, sometimes we look for material things.
Okay.
And it's not always in the material. You know, if you woke up with your mind, peace of mind, you know, that's something, you know, to be thankful for. If you, you know, have simple things like food and shelter. I was looking on the news tonight at the people, the devastation in Alabama and Mississippi from the tornado, and we had two people in our office who lost family members in that tornado. And here we are, you know, sitting in our comfortable houses and chairs or comfortable apartments, and we have food to eat. The lady was on the news. She was crying. She said, we don't have anything. Wow. She said, we don't have a house. We don't have food. We don't have lights. We don't have a vehicle. We don't have anything.
This was after the devastation that happened Saturday or today?
I think this happened last night.
Okay, with the storm?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I think this was last night that this happened. So, yes, it was devastating. So, the lady said, we just don't have anything. And so my heart went out to them. You heard so many stories about how people's lives were spared. One man said he ran in his bathroom and jumped in his bathtub. And when everything stopped, that's all that was left was him in the bathtub. Wow. Nothing else. Everything else was gone. So he was thanking God for his life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just have to thank God for the small things, you know, in our lives.
And that leads right into what happened in Nashville today.
Absolutely.
With the shooting. Mm-hmm. And I think the count now is like 12 people died in that school shooting in Nashville. How many? Six?
It was six.
Okay.
Yeah, it was three children and three other people, adults.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, but the whole point is that so much destruction and so many lives are being taken. And we have to be mindful and thankful for God sustaining us. That scripture I was looking for earlier was in Psalm 37. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and mm-hmm. feed on his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. And so when we focus on evildoers, then we lose sight of what God is trying to get done mm-hmm. in us. That's Psalm 37, the first few verses there. And so God's got it. God's got everything under control. And so we have to delight ourselves in him. And he shall give us the desires of our heart.
Amen. And there are some evildoers out
there.
Oh,
yeah. There's a lot of them out there.
Yes. So.
All right. Well, we're in 1 Chronicles, the 19th chapter. Thank y'all for the comments and for sharing. And those of you who are just joining us, we were just rehearsing what had happened yesterday in the worship experience and Saturday with the women's conference. And then, of course, we went out after church on Sunday. And our young people, the Urshas, and we had about 17 people who helped and assist with us in terms of the food deliveries. And it was an amazing, each time we go out, it's an amazing situation because it just puts us in the, it brings a back to reality and see how blessed we truly are and how fortunate we are, because a lot of people out there are struggling. And man, it's almost like when the ice cream truck used to pull up back in the day.
Yeah.
And
hear that music, they come out. When they see the church bus, here they come, because they know there's going to be a delicious hot meal waiting for them.
And then, you know, even as we're giving out the other meals, you can see other people opening theirs up and getting ready to eat. And they say, oh, you know, this is some real good food right here. And so we praise God for the excellent volunteers and the cooks at ATOP and the time that they take in preparation, because these are hot meals, and you can look at the people and tell they're enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know I enjoyed mine.
I know, right? I did too.
I got to taste it. It was good.
It's delicious. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go into the 19th chapter of 1 Chronicles tonight. There are only 19 verses there. And this is a very interesting chapter. Of course, David has already established himself as the king, and he's ruling and he's overpowering. God is with him. God is walking with him through the battles that he has to endure. But he finds himself now in a war against Amnon in Syria, mm-hmm. and how he is really challenged here by how some of the people responded, mm-hmm. because one of the leaders, the king, one of the kings, Nashar, I think his name is
Nahash.
Yeah. He had died, and his son was now the king, and so David had already defeated them, and then he came back and wanted to show his he wanted to honor his dad, mm-hmm. and let them know that they were friends and allies. But it turned out that what was his son's name? Nahon. He had some people around him. Is that his name? Is that
right? Nahash.
Okay, Nahash. And what was the son's name?
Nahash was the king. And the sons was Hanun, son of Nahash. And I don't know what the other son's name is.
And so they what really I'm trying to get at here is that his son did not surround himself, and we'll see it coming out here, with the kind of leaders that would give him wise counsel. Mm-hmm. They gave him wrong counsel in that situation, and they ended up losing almost everything that they had. Mm-hmm. And I think part of what we can gather from this particular when you begin to read it, is that we have to make sure that we listen to wise counsel, and that we don't just listen to people first off, but and not consulting with God ourselves.
Amen.
About what the direction need to be, you know, because they could have very easily been allies with Israel, the children of Israel, but ended up being defeated and losing everything they had, mostly. And David took the rest of it for himself and for the children of Israel. And they became, what they end up going through, they didn't have to really go through.
Right.
And so that's the way it is with us, I believe. When we don't listen to wise counsel or seek God's face, we go through so much. And if we go back and look at that word in Matthew, seeking first the kingdom of God, sometimes we seek everybody else, and then we don't consult with God, and we have to go back to where we first started.
Amen.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you want to go ahead and start reading there, Lady Kim, unless
sure.
you want to add some more to what I was just kind of giving a little recap here tonight.
Where's a good place you want me to stop?
Well, it's only 19, so let's do 9 verses, and then let's see what happens after that.
All right. We are 1 Chronicles, the 19th chapter, verse 1. It happened after this that Nahash, the king of the people of Ammon, died, and his son reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me.
Mm-hmm.
So David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came to Hanun in the land of the people of Ammon to comfort him. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Did the servants not come to you to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land? Therefore, Hanun took David's servants, shaved them, and cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks and sent them away. Then some went and told David about the men, and he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return.
Okay, let's stop there. What verse is that?
That's number 5.
Okay, so it's a whole lot going on right there. And that sets the stage for what's about to happen.
Yes.
Because of, as I indicated earlier, I think it was not wise counsel that Hanun received in terms of what David's intentions were mm-hmm. to honor his dad.
Mm-hmm. And I think the reason they didn't have wise counsel is because some of the reading that I read said that there had been a lapse of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when your dad is the king and he's reigning, he reigned for a number of years, and David showed kindness to his father. And then there had been a lapse of time. And sometimes when a lot of time goes by, this is what I'm getting at. When a lot of time goes by, people tend to forget.
Okay.
It wasn't like David and Nahash were, you know, interacting all the time, but mm-hmm. he showed kindness to him every now and then.
Okay.
And so they may not have remembered, you know, exactly what David had done for the dad. So I think they had gotten misinformation and not unwise counsel from these people, because these people probably had never been around the dad and when he extended kindness to David. And they feared David because he had conquered so many other nations. David had defeated the Philistines, the Moabites, King Hadarus, the Arameans, the Edomites, you know, and mm-hmm. so they got fearful and said, no, he's not coming to comfort you or send them to comfort you. He's sending them to spy on the land because
right.
he's getting ready to come in and overtake us. He wants to overtake us like he's done those other nations.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't know the kindness that David had extended to his father.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they were fearful. So you have to be careful about the people that you listen to, like you said.
Okay, that's good. And the way they embarrassed them, you know, was just uncalled for.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of set everything in motion.
Yes.
In terms of how David responded.
Mm-hmm.
And so they cut, shaved the men. And back then, Lady Kelvin, I don't know if you didn't had any information on that.
Mm-hmm.
When they grew their hair and the beards, it was a significance to
yes.
all of that. And mm-hmm. then they cut off all of their garments up to their buttocks, as mm-hmm. you said, and sent them away,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they were embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they stripped them of their dignity
mm-hmm.
and all of that. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
when people get to a place of embarrassment and shame, then the only response that David had was, all right, let's line them up. Let's mm-hmm. go in here and let's handle our business. But he told his men to just wait there
mm-hmm.
until their beards grew back, you know.
I like that about David. He mm-hmm. had compassion on his men.
Right,
you know, he didn't
right.
want his men going back home
right.
looking the way they were. And one commentary that I read said they shaved off half of their beard.
Mm-hmm.
So that was even more humiliating that they didn't shave the whole beard. They cut off half of the beard and then they cut off their clothes,
right.
like you said, up to their behinds.
Mm-hmm.
So humiliating. But David said, no, don't go back home.
Mm-hmm.
You stay. I think he told him stay in Jericho.
Yeah, in Jericho.
Stay in Jericho until your beards have fully grown back.
So and that was going to be some time.
Well, they're going to be away for a while. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, they wouldn't go back with a defeatist attitude or feeling embarrassed.
Okay.
When they went back home.
All right. And so that really kind of set things in motion for what is yet to come. And
mm-hmm.
I think you read down to verse number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to pick it back up?
Yes, verse number 6. We're in 1 Chronicles, the 19th chapter. When the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, Hanun and the people of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire for themselves chariots and horsemen from Mesopotamia, from Syrian, Micah, and from Zobah. So they hired for themselves 32,000 chariots with the king of Micah and his people, who came and encamped before Medeba. Also the people of Ammon gathered together from their cities and came to battle. Now when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. Then the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle array before the gate of the city. And the kings who had come were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, and they set themselves in battle array against the people of Ammon. Then he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. Be of good courage and let us be strong for our people and for our city and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Shall I stop there? That's verse 13.
Yeah, that's powerful, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yes.
So David responded in a way where he sent forth his army, and he sent two armies, two different sets of people out to prepare for this battle. But the son had decided that he was going to get the very best that he could mm-hmm. in order to fight against David, because he realized that he had made a mistake.
Yes.
And how he had treated the envoy, if you will, that came, and how he had just dismantled them and took away their dignity. And when David got worried about it, he said, okay, let's line up, let's get ready. And so, they knew that they were going to be up against a good fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that they disrespected them, but then they went to war against them. If I was the king and I found out that I had disrespected him in such a way, I would have been asking for an apology.
I would have been apologizing.
Mm-hmm. But instead, he went out and he enlisted other people to fight with him. He got chariots and men to line up and fight with him. But when David found out, he did the same thing. Mm-hmm. He was ready to fight back. And I think Joab was his son and he set him in charge mm-hmm. of the armies. And so Joab had a plan too.
That's right.
Joab had a plan, and he said, y'all come on over here, and if you help us, you know, if they start getting the best of you all, we'll help you.
Right.
But if they start getting the best of us,
you can help us. Right. And so that's where we left off, I think, with the strategy that was in place. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting how they closed out that 13th verse. Be of good courage mm-hmm. and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Mm-hmm. And so that's really a prayer in a real sense, Reverend, because they were still under the umbrella of God's protection, and they were willing to submit to God's covering in the midst of what they were about to go through, mm-hmm. even before they pursued into the battle that they were getting ready to go into.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Shall we go on?
Yes.
Verse number 14. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near for the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before them. When the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled before Abishai his brother and entered the city. So Joab went to Jerusalem. Now, when the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they sent messengers and brought the Syrians who were beyond the river. And Shobak, the commander, and Hadadezer's army went before them. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel, crossed over the Jordan, and came upon them and set up in battle array against them. So when David had set up in battle array against the Syrians, they fought with him. Then the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed 7,000 charioteers, wow, 40,000 foot soldiers, what, of the Syrians, and killed Shaphat, the commander of the army. And when the servants of Hadarezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and became his servants. So the Syrians were not willing to help the people of Ammon anymore.
Isn't that something? So that was a whole lot of confusion about something that could have been easily resolved.
Easily resolved or avoided.
Avoided, mm-hmm, that's right. Because, yeah, and it's a lot of things that came into play in terms of the decision-making process. And like you said, the history, not understanding what had happened, mm-hmm, and not really giving wise counsel, and not really consulting with God. I don't think they did. It didn't say. But they were willing to just embarrass the people that David had sent and called them out as spies and really humiliated them. And so David had to defend himself and his nation because of the way they had treated some of his top allies. Mm-hmm. They were considered to be ambassadors, mm-hmm, that he sent. You know, he sent some of his best people there, mm-hmm, on behalf of peace. Mm-hmm. But they misinterpreted what it was all about and thought they were coming as spies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so what else do you have there, Lady Kim? If you would kind of put a handle on, tag on some of this, because we pretty much covered those 19 verses. I knew it was going to be kind of relatively short because it's kind of given us what we've already rehearsed here in terms of how David responded and how these other, the Ammonites, who was it? The Ammonites and the Armenians, mm-hmm, and how they could have very easily avoided all of the death and all of the destruction that happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it all leads back to do the right thing. Okay. Do the right thing in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Even if what you do is rejected, you still need to do the right thing.
Okay, okay.
You know, I think in David's case, he did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
He offered his condolences on the death of the father. He sent his men to offer condolences and to comfort the son. And the son, in turn, like you said, got bad advice and
embarrassed
and were hostile
and
towards
yeah,
towards his gift of comfort.
That's right.
And so we need to do the right thing even when it's rejected.
Okay. That's good. That's good. And so I think a lot of times when we go through things and when we don't completely understand the full scope of what we're about to embark on, it's also wise for us to analyze and not make our move too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though we're not preparing for battle or we're trying to discern what somebody is bringing to us as the right thing, I think oftentimes when we prepare to go through situations that we find ourselves in, it's best to do as much research and get all of the facts as well as spiritual advice as you can before you make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have very easily entertained these men who had come, mm-hmm, and had opportunity to discern what was the best route for them to take, rather than they could even put them to a test to see, mm-hmm, if they were spies or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so all of that has to do with us as believers. We have to try the Spirit by the Spirit. We have to make sure that we are prayed up and that we have sought God's face in terms of decisions that we are in the process of making, and not to make our moves too soon. Would you, mm-hmm, agree with me on that?
Yes.
You got a comment coming
through. I had a comment from the streaming side. They said, this is good. There are only 8 verses in chapter 20, so let's keep going.
Okay.
I didn't even bring my chapter 20.
You didn't bring it down with you?
No, I did not.
Okay.
But I don't know if we have more than one chapter next week or not. I don't have my outline with me. Yeah.
You didn't bring none of that?
No, I didn't. I don't have my outline.
Well, go get it right quick, and then I'll just entertain any prayer requests, and you come back, and we'll see what it looks like and how whether that we're on point or not.
Okay.
You going to do that? So even as Lady Kim is going to get the outline for next week, as you indicated, it was already indicated there are only 8 verses in that 20th chapter. And we still have enough time. Our time is getting away from us, as you can see. But if there are prayer requests, we want you to go ahead and mention those now, because Lady Kim is going to share with you some updates in terms of some requests that we have received from our members and those who are yet still going through various setbacks and sicknesses and illnesses and losses. And so we want you to go ahead and submit your request if you have one, because we believe in the power of prayer. We know that we serve a prayer answering God. And the Bible reminds us that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so one of the things that we understand and we're clear in our minds and in our spirits that God has promised to be with us. He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end. And so when we have God on our sides and the Holy Spirit as our guide, then it just serves us well to consult with God and to bring him all of our requests and all of our concerns and cast all of our cares upon him, because he knows about us. He knows what we're going through, and he knows what the end is going to be like. He knows the pain and the suffering. Isaiah put it this way: he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Mm-hmm. And with his stripes we are healed. And so whatever request that you might have, each time we gather on Sunday, we want to make sure that we pray. We probably pray at least 3 times in the worship experience on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's even more intense and at the end, you know, based upon how the Lord is leading. But we're particular and we're intentional about making sure that we connect with people and pray for them about what they're believing God to do in their situations.
Amen.
So what does the outline look like?
Chapter 20.
For tonight?
Uh-huh.
Oh, we were supposed to do chapter 20?
Yes, we were. And okay. We stopped in 19.
Okay. So what we'll do, we don't have enough time, I don't think, and you haven't, did you read that, the 20th?
I read a little bit of it, yes.
Well, let's go ahead and read it. It's just 8 verses. Yeah. And then we'll just comment on that, and whatever we don't get to, we can pick it up next week. How about that?
That sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Verse chapter 20 of First Chronicles. Rabbah is conquered. That's what it's going to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in the spring of the year that at the time kings go out to battle, that Joab led out the armed forces and ravaged the country of the people of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem, and Joab defeated Rabbah and overthrew it.
Okay.
Then David took their king's crown from his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold.
Mm.
And there were precious stones in it. And it was sent to It was set on David's head. Also, he brought out the spoil of the city in great abundance. And he brought out the people who were in it and put them to work with saws, with iron picks, and with axes. So David did to all the cities of the people of Ammon. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem.
Okay.
Verse number 4, now it happened afterwards that war broke out in Gezer with the Philistines, at which time Sibilite and Hushathite killed Sipai, who was one of the sons of the giant, and they were subdued. Again, there was war with the Philistines, and Elihan, the son of Jair, killed Lamai, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again, there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature with 24 fingers and 6 toes on each hand.
What?
And Jesus. 6 on each foot. And he also was born to the giant. So when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. These were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants.
Wow. So the beat goes on, right?
Yes.
It doesn't stop even after they have, David is really on a conquest, if you will, of making sure that he overtakes and that he conquers all of the different territories and those who are the inhabitants thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a land of giants that he's entering into right here.
Yes.
And the thing that really jumped out in my spirit as you were reading that, Lady Kim, is that...
Those fingers and toes.
Before that, David had prepared his people in such a way that they were not fearful even of giants. And it can easily be said that giant killers grew under David's leadership.
Amen. That's good.
That's good, isn't it? And so it is with us. We have to get to a place in our walk and in this journey with God that we're not fearful of what might appear to be a big day in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
God is yet preparing us even tonight to be giant killers. Somebody type that in the margin
because
I believe God is giving you the ammunition that you need. If you remain faithful in where you are and obedient to what God is calling for you to do, God will raise up giant killers in the midst of what we are receiving even here tonight. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so as our faith increases, then we are able to be more than conquerors. That's what the word says, through him that loved. Not just conquerors, but more than. And so even though there may be some giants in your way, know that greater is he that's within you. I felt something right there. Than he that's within the world.
Yeah.
And that no weapon. I'm talking about three people tonight. No weapon that's formed against you shall be able to prosper. God's going to give you the capacity to conquer giants that's coming your way.
Hallelujah.
Shabbat. Hey, God.
Yes.
Glory, God. So it takes a lot of to really get to a place in this journey, Reverend, where we really trust God and we walk by faith and not by sight.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Because many times what we see in the natural can hinder what God is trying to do in the spirit realm.
Amen.
And that thing that you face with, that thing that you're up against, God has already equipped you. And it looks like it's a giant that's trying to hinder you from getting to the place that God has described.
Mm-hmm.
But can I encourage you tonight to trust God, even though it might look like it's got fingers growing from everywhere.
I know.
And hair coming out of every part. Know that God is well able to do exceedingly and abundantly.
Yes, Lord.
Above any and everything that we can ever ask or think.
Yes.
And God will give you the victory even over that giant.
Yes, he will. Amen, amen. Well, you know, in this lesson, just to kind of wrap it up, you know, is in summary that these were the descendants that he slew from the giants of Gath.
Mm-hmm.
They fell by the hand of David.
Right.
And the lesson is, if God said it, then do it.
Then do it.
If God said it, then do it.
Then do it. That's right. Just do it.
Just do it.
Glory God. And so David already had, he already had experience with Goliath by this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you look in 1 Samuel, around 17, we know that that's when David was young
mm-hmm.
and when he fought Goliath. And I think that prepared him to prepare his people
mm-hmm.
to let them know that if the leader is not scared and he energizes his followers and he's telling them, no, you can handle these giants. Don't be afraid of them. Describe what how their fingers and toes and all of that. 12 toes and 15 fingers and what was it?
Verse number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yet again, there was war at Gath where there was a man of great stature.
That's a giant.
With 24 fingers.
24 fingers?
And 24 fingers and toes.
What?
6 on each hand and 6 on each foot.
And that's enough to scare you right there, right?
I know,
you
right?
You see something coming at you like that. And he's tall and big. And so it is with what we're faced with. You know, it looks like it's impossible. But what's impossible to man is not impossible to God.
Yes, Lord.
Glory God. So I want to encourage you tonight, if you're looking at something that looks unusual and something that looks strange, and you say, there ain't no way, but there is a way, and God's going to give you the victory even over this.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I feel a sermon right there, right?
You do?
Yes, ma'am.
You going to be writing hard, huh?
No, I'm coming for you.
Oh!
Jabba, hey. Go ahead and run with that. I gave you 3 points in a prayer. Now. Go ahead and handle that.
Oh, boy.
Giant slayers, giant killers.
Giant killers. Are there any other prayer requests? We've gone over our time on tonight.
But we did what we were supposed to do with that chapter, didn't we?
Yes. Thank you, Sister Antoinette, for letting us know that we needed to move on. All right.
She's on the streaming side, right?
Yes, okay. She is.
Thank you, Sister Antoinette.
Okay, so we had prayer requests for on the feed that says pray for social workers and therapists.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they need our prayers right through here. You know, they have to deal with the devastation in Nashville of another school shooting. They also have to deal with the devastation of those who experienced the tornadoes in Mississippi and Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So much going on. Pray for those in our school system here in the city of Memphis and the surrounding areas, the counties, municipalities. We want to lift up Sister Giselle Padilla in the loss of her mother, Inez Zamuk. Continue to lift her up. We want to lift up Sister Emma Burnett in the loss of her sister-in-law, Venice Burnett. We want to pray for Brother Robert Jefferson in the loss of his mother, Dorothy Foster. We want to lift up Brother Willie Watkins, who is in St. Francis Bartlett. And we want to continue to lift up Sister Lena Jackson, who is in St. Francis on Park.
Okay.
So those are our prayer requests on tonight.
You got Brother Robert in there, Jefferson. Okay.
I see it.
Okay, I didn't hear you. I was looking at something else. I was just trying to make sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because he went down to Holly Springs today, and they're in the process of making arrangements for the ongoing celebration.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Well, any others come across the screen there tonight?
That was it.
Okay. Well, we hope y'all enjoyed this time together tonight. Lady Kim is going to close us with a word of prayer. And then we'll move on from there.
Amen. God, we thank you tonight for this awesome study of your word. We thank you that we know that we can face our giants and they will be defeated if we only continue to trust and believe in you. We thank you, oh God, for giving us the mentality to fight, God, when we sometimes are too weak even to feel like we can stand. But you have given us everything we need to stand against those giants that we face.
God.
We thank you for that, God.
Thank you, God.
God, we pray for the therapists and social workers everywhere who have to deal with trauma, disappointment, discouragement, trials and tribulations. We pray for the bereaved tonight, God. We pray for Sister Giselle, Sister Emma, Brother Robert. We pray for those who are sick and in the hospital, Brother Willie and Sister Lena Jackson. And we ask, God, that you would continue to bless us and watch over us. God, we ask that you would just bless our pastor, continue to bless our church family, continue to lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Continue, oh God, to bless our volunteers who work so hard in order to make a difference in our community. And we thank you for all that put their hand to the plow and never look back. We know that the kingdom of heaven shall be theirs. So we thank you tonight, God. We pray a special blessing for Brother Martez Jones,
yes,
oh God.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Continue to touch his body, God, and heal him as only you can. And we love you tonight, God. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and praise God.
Amen.
All right. Well, we hope y'all have a fantastic rest of the day, rest of the evening, rather. And we are certainly grateful for you being a part of this time together with us tonight.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining. Bye-bye.
Be blessed.